Father, we thank you once again that you have made it possible for us to come together into your presence this morning. Thank you for this day, the first Sunday of the month of July. Thank you for your faithfulness through January, February, March, April, May, and June. And thank you, Eternal Father, because we know that you have already gone ahead of us into the month of July. And Father, you have gone ahead of us to subdue the mountains. Father, to level and to make straight every crooked path. Lord, we thank you because you have gone ahead, Jehovah, to fill every valley and to give us your victories. Lord, be exalted in the name of Jesus. We confess this morning that we love you. And Father, we confess also that you love us. In your love, you have always given us your word freely. And once again, Eternal Father, we pray that you would demonstrate your love towards us in giving us your word freely again in the name of Jesus. Let your word come to us freely. Let your word come to us clearly. Let your word, O God, be a blessing to our soul. Let it enrich us, O God, so that in the end, Father, we will testify and we will rejoice. To you be all the praise and glory, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our theme for the month is perfect peace. And so this morning, I'll be ministering on pictures of perfect peace. First, please let us turn our Bibles together to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. And then we're going to read verse 3. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And again, we are going to read the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and then verses 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Normally, peace is defined as freedom from war, trouble, disturbance, fear, anxiety, and worry. It is quietness, calmness, serenity, and tranquility. However, true life experiences will show us that such peace is temporal and never perfect or permanent, as we constantly face wars, turmoil, disturbances, fears, anxieties, and worries from time to time, both from within and without. So our experience of quietness, calmness, serenity, and tranquility in this world are usually short-lived. So, only God gives perfect and permanent peace, as peace itself is God's creation. Let's turn again to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, and we're going to read verse 7 to confirm that peace is God's creation. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 7. It says, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." So it is the Lord who makes peace. It is the Lord who creates peace. It is the Lord who gives peace. God's perfect peace is peace in the midst of storm, or peace in spite of the troubles and disturbances around. It helps us to be calm and makes it possible for us to enjoy real quietness, serenity, and tranquility within, despite the chaos around us in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates and displays this perfect peace for us in the story that we find in Mark chapter 4 and from verse 35 to 41. Let's quickly read that story. Mark chapter 4, and then we are going to read from verse 35 to verse 41. And the same day, when the even was come, he says unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, care you not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are all of you so fearful? How is it that all of you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So Jesus demonstrates for us how to enjoy this type of peace that we're talking about this morning. The peace that the Bible calls perfect peace. The peace that is not subject to external circumstances. The Bible says that Jesus was traveling in the ship with his disciples, and then the devil stirred up a storm against them. Yes, there was storm on the sea. There was storm without. But there was no storm within Jesus. The Bible says while the storm was raging, Jesus was asleep, and he even had a pillow underneath his head. Jesus was not disturbed by whatever was going on around him. He enjoyed absolute peace. He enjoyed perfect peace. And that is the type of peace that God wants you and I to enjoy, irrespective of whatever may be happening around you. God wants us to enjoy peace and not look at our situations and not look at our circumstances. This morning, I want us to see other pictures in scripture of perfect peace. Number one, you can see it in the life of Joseph when that young man ran into trouble with his brothers. And you know that Joseph not only had trouble with his brothers, he also ran into trouble in Potiphar's house when the wife of Potiphar had to lie against him when she wanted this young man to forcefully lie with her. And as a result of that, Joseph was summarily tried, and his plea was not taken, and Joseph was jailed. And although there were troubles around this young man, Joseph enjoyed peace. Howbeit, perfect peace. Joseph was not troubled by the hatred of his brothers. Joseph was not troubled by the lies of the wife of Potiphar. Joseph was not troubled by the fact that he was thrown to jail, howbeit unjustly. That man was at peace. He had peace with God. He had peace with himself. He had peace with men around him, to the intent that Joseph was even able to help others in his situation, despite the fact that there were troubles around him. He enjoyed perfect peace. Another picture of perfect peace in scripture is Moses at the Red Sea. When Moses led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, shortly after, the Bible says that Pharaoh had a rethink and he mobilized his army, and they started to pursue these people. And the Bible tells us that Pharaoh and his host caught up with them at the Red Sea. And when the children of Israel looked forward, when they looked to their front, they saw the Red Sea. And when they looked to their back, they saw the Egyptian host. And the Bible says the children of Israel lifted up their voice and they started to cry out of fear. But although many of these people were fearful, Moses was not afraid. Moses had experienced the demonstration of the power of God severally. Although Moses didn't know what God was going to do, and how God was going to save them, but Moses knew for sure that God was going to help them. And all that Moses just did was to lift up his voice to God and pray. Don't forget, that is what Paul counsels us to do in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 that we have read. He said, simply make your request known to God by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't allow worries or anxieties in your heart. Simply pray to God and make your request known to Him. And then and only then, the Bible says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will dwell in your heart. Moses simply lifted up his voice to God and he prayed. He prayed in faith. He prayed in peace. And God manifested himself. Listen to me. If you will pray in faith this morning, God also will manifest himself in your situation. But please don't be troubled. Don't allow the storms outside to stir up anxieties or worries in your heart. There may be chaos all around you, but please make sure that there is no chaos within you. So Moses lifted up his voice to God, and God sent a mighty wind, a wind that was so strong and mighty that the Bible says it divided the Red Sea into two, and the children of Israel simply passed through walking on dry ground. You can't ever predict how God is going to solve your problem. You can't ever predict, you can't ever tell how God is going to meet your needs. But simply talk to Him, simply pray, simply make your request known to God, and God is going to move in. Hallelujah. A third picture of perfect peace in Scripture. You will find that in Joshua and Caleb. You know, Joshua and Caleb were part of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And the Bible says, whereas the other 10 spies were overtaken with fear, they saw giants, they saw warriors, they saw weapons of war, and they reckoned in their heart that it was impossible for them to go into that land and possess it. You know, that's why you've got to be very, very careful what thoughts you allow in your heart. Because the Bible says, out of the heart proceed the treasures of life. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And a lot of the times, Jesus will say to men, after ministering to them, he will say, be it done unto you according to your faith. That's why you shouldn't be thinking in a negative, perverse, and ungodly way. However what it may seem to you, try and train yourself in the art of faith. Try and discipline yourself. Try and teach yourself how to believe God, how to trust God, how to deal with situations and circumstances, and how to keep moving on and progressing in life in spite of the limitations around. Those 10 bad spies, they brought up bad reports, and they said it was impossible for them to enter into the promised land. They were troubled. They were fearful. They were worried. And believe me, it happens to them according to their faith. Because they thought it was impossible for them to inherit the promised land, and they even voiced it out. So it happened to them that none of those 10 men entered into the land of promise. And all the people that they spoke to and they influenced in a negative way and they contaminated with their unbelief, all of those people also, none of them entered into that promised land. Again, this is why the Bible warns us in Hebrews and says, let there not be that evil heart of unbelief in any of you. Unbelief is an evil heart. God hates it. Because the Bible says, without faith, nobody can please God. You can't be godly. You can't even be good if you don't have faith. God wants us to believe in. Those 10 bad spies, they couldn't believe God. They lost their peace. And they said it was impossible for them to enter into the promised land. And because they thought like that and spoke like that, so they couldn't enter into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says they had a different spirit. Please, wherever you find people that are so skeptical, people that are so pessimistic, people that are always thinking negative, confessing negative, people that are so filled and full of unbelief, try as much as possible to insulate yourself from the influence of such ungodly people. Because if you allow yourself to be influenced by them, they will deflate your life. And it will be impossible for you to enter into the promise of God for your life. At such a time, please, be like Joshua and Caleb. Have a different spirit. Instead of being a pessimist, be an optimist. Instead of doubt, exhibit faith. Joshua and Caleb, they believed that God could make them to enter into that land of promise. And according to their faith, so it happened to them. They entered into the land of promise, even when Moses could not enter it. If you believe this month, you will see great and mighty things in Jesus' name. Again, another picture of perfect peace you will find in the story of Esther. Esther who took a big risk. Esther who took her life into her hands. And she went in to meet the king, King Ahasuerus, when the king did not summon her. And you know, according to the history of that kingdom, the Persian kingdom, if anybody went in to see that king without being summoned, the only thing that can spare that person's life is if the king raises his scepter towards such a person. But there was an emergency, and Mordecai had to say to Esther, do you know if it is for a time like this that you have come to the throne, that God made you to become king? And this woman suddenly faced well up in her, and then she decided that she was going to take that risk, how be it with God. And she mobilized for fasting, she mobilized for prayer, and she decided to go in to see the king, even when the king had not sent for her. And she said to herself, if I perish, I perish. Read the scriptures. Those who endanger their lives for God, God always does not give their lives over to the enemy. At the end of the day, she endangered her life, but God gave her her life back. When she went in to see the king lifted up the scepter towards her. Esther was at peace. Esther was at rest. She enjoyed perfect peace, despite the fact that her life was in danger. Despite the fact that she was doing something very, very risky, very, very dangerous. I have always said it, and let me say it again today. The black man today, the black race today, is so backward because we are too fearful. We don't want to take risks. We don't want to endanger our lives. Let me conduct a test here this morning. How many of you can swim? If you can swim, raise your hand. You can swim. Very few. Even here now, those that can swim are less than one quarter of the population of those that are here this morning. Why is it that you cannot swim? The fear of being drowned. And can you imagine? And swimming is just one of the little skills that we should possess in life. And come to think of it, if we are too fearful to hit the waters and learn to swim, then you can now imagine how many risky things, great ventures, an average black man is too scared to undertake. And because we are too afraid, we don't want to venture out. We don't want to endanger our lives. We don't want to take risks. You know, an average African child develops with fear. The child begins to say, ojuju, ojuju, ojuju. African parents don't instill faith and confidence in their children. Instead, they put fear in them. Fear of the world. Aye? Is that not what we talk about? fear of juju, ogun, ah, fear of the witches and the wizard, ah, oh my ye, oh mo ogun, ogun abenu gongo. You know, the typical black man grew up not knowing how to praise God, but we know how to exalt Satan. We know how to magnify the devil. And that's why when we become born again and we come to church, it's a matter of struggle. Over a long period of time, you teach and teach and teach, you pray and pray and pray, you preach and preach and preach, so as to detoxify people of all this contaminated stuff that we have there in our head that are not allowing us to exercise faith and to take risks for God. And that's why if you look at this part of the world, what are we manufacturing? And they say no pain, no gain. If you are not ready to take risks, your life will just be stagnant. You won't make progress. Because success is never cheap. Progress is not made easily. And I love it. The same Yorubas will talk about squeezing your hand and legs into something. There are times, if you don't learn how to squeeze both your hands and your legs, then you will never achieve anything successful in life. Honestly, my wife just came back from a trip to UK. She had a training there. She went to a typical secondary school in the UK. She said it is not a curse. The black man can never ever meet up or catch up with the white man anymore. She said in every class there were about 3 teachers, right? Said there are screens, about 4 screens everywhere, that wherever the child sits, even if you are not looking at the teacher, you can look at the screen. Photocopier, printer, scanner, even video conferencing in every classroom. Secondary school. Many of our universities here, they don't have such facilities. And that's why when you graduate from here and you travel abroad, they will retrain you. Because they know that the quality that you are bringing from where you are coming from is not good enough. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to arise? The Bible says, those who love their lives, they shall lose it. It is only those who behave as if they don't love their own lives, as if they hate their own lives, who endanger their lives, who takes risks. Those are the ones that are going to save their lives eventually. Those are the inventors. Those are the discoverers. Those are the leaders of our society. People who take risks. And you can't take risks if you are a fearful person. That fear will first of all defeat you. But you must enjoy perfect peace and confidence if you are going to take risks in life. If you are going to make progress in life, you must be able to understand how to deal life itself. Listen to me. Life is not useful. Life is not worth anything if you don't leave it for something. By the time you die, all your kirakita, it is when you die that people will now say, okay, what are people going to remember you for? Look around you and you see people achieving great things in life. Can you imagine how the white man started? Again, my wife and I were discussing. He said, when God created man and then he blessed him, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. He said, the only thing the black man had was be fruitful and multiply. The black man did not hear. Replenish and subdue. The black man did not hear. Have dominion. She said, ah, my. The white man has really, really subdued the earth. The white man is having dominion. Dominion in the air, dominion on land, dominion in the sea. One of the hobbies of some white people now, hobby, is to swim with sharks. And sharks are never seen in rivers, not even at the edges of the sea. If you are going to swim with the shark, you will go far and far and far and far into the middle of the ocean. And not only that, you know that sharks are dangerous beasts. They are wild fish. And yet, it is the hobby of some people to swim alongside with sharks. And they will go into the deep sea with cameras and they will be filming it. But the black man, all the members of your family will come and beg you, please, don't kill us. They won't talk about don't kill yourself. They will say, don't kill us. Who is dying? Wow! Friends, let us begin to enjoy perfect peace. Let us begin to know that nobody can kill you except God permits it. No situation of life, no circumstance of life, no demon from the pit of hell can harm you except God permits it. Jesus Christ says, the number of strands of hair on your head, they are already counted. God knows the number. And he says, not a single strand can fall to the ground without the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's regain our confidence in God. Let's live in peace and not allow the devil to continue to harass us. I remember one juju musician who once sang a song. And I think that song is good. He said, Kilombe nigbo, don't do mahuru, mahuru. Hallelujah. There are too many things harassing the life of the black man. Let's set ourselves free. Let's enter into the rest of God. Let us enjoy perfect what? Perfect peace. Once there is peace within your heart, you will undertake any venture. Once there is peace within your heart, no circumstance of life will be able to limit your life. Do you understand me this morning? Esther understood that. Imagine if Esther never took that risk. Imagine if Esther never took that step. A whole nation would have been defeated. And they would be crying, God, why now? God, why now? Why? The reason is because we refuse to take a step. The reason is because we refuse to act. Everything is not dependent on God. There are so many things that God wants us to do. After all, when God created us, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. A lot of the times, we suffer in life, not because God does not want us to enjoy, but because we refuse to subdue. We refuse to dominate. We refuse to take the decisions we ought to take. We refuse to take the steps that we ought to take. The day you mature and you come to yourself and you realize that, yes, God wants me to deal certain situations and circumstances. You know, there are certain doors that will never open until you push them. Push them first. Is that not what Jesus Christ said? Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. It is only somebody that is seeking that finds you. If you are not seeking anything, what are you going to find? Nothing. So seek. Hallelujah. Esther had peace. And so she did what she did. And she had her breakthrough. The breakthrough was not just for her. It was for the whole nation of Israel. Number 5. Look at the life of David before Goliath. Don't forget that David was not even old enough to be in the army. David just strayed to the battlefield. David just stumbled to meet the situation at the war front. And then the Bible says Goliath came up. If Goliath knew, Goliath ought not to have come up as David was there. The Bible says all the soldiers in the army, they were afraid. They were troubled. Even King Saul himself was troubled. The moment fear overtakes your heart, it's like you have been handcuffed. Fear deflates a person. Fear weakens a man. Fear does not allow us to take action. Listen to me. David looked at the man. Oh my God. He said, what will be done to anybody who kill this Kininronronyi? That is a man. In fact, he was still a young man, about 17, a teenager.
a young man. He had peace in his heart. He was bold. He was confident. He was courageous. You don't describe a fearful man as courageous or confident. All the confidence of a fearful man will have disappeared. But the size, the height, and the armor and weapons of Goliath did not intimidate David in any way. He looked at him and he saw him dead. And he started to find out what will be done to the person who killed this man. And mark you, David didn't have mighty weapons to use. He only had a catapult, a stone, and a sling. He was at peace. One of the things you need to know about peace, peaceful people don't copy others. You are satisfied with whom God has made you to be. You don't envy people. You are not jealous of anybody. You are satisfied being yourself. You know, there are all kinds of wrong ideas that motivational preachers are teaching people all over the place. The way you dress is the way you are addressed. Do this, do that. And some of them will tell you, if you are looking for who to marry, you must do this, you must paint up. And because you want to marry, they first of all turn you into a Jezebel. And you know, Jezebel can only marry King Ahab. So by the time they teach you how to be a Jezebel, believe me, you are going to marry a wicked Ahab. No, be yourself. After all, how many men do you want to marry as a lady? Is it not just one? Is it until you paint up yourself and you turn yourself into a Jezebel that you are going to find that one? Or how many women do you want to marry as a young man? Is it not just one? Must you allow yourself to be beaten into a bad shape all because you want to marry somebody? Be yourself. It is inferiority complex that makes people to want to copy others unnecessarily. You being who you are, where you are, God can reach you. God can bless you. God can lift you up in life. Hallelujah. When King Saul gave to David his armor, David found those armor too heavy. He said, I can't go out with this. Please, remove it. And everybody was looking at him. Does this young man want to commit suicide? You are facing a giant, a man of war that has all kinds of armor, helmet, boots, spear, shield. But that is to tell you that when God is in a situation, he makes it obvious to all. And take note, David did not throw his stone twice. He threw it once, only one, only one. And that's to tell us that we need to cultivate a deep fellowship with God. Make sure you enter into a good and strong relationship with God. Because this whole world, God has it in his hands. What is it that God cannot do? David threw his stone with his sling just once. You know, Goliath was covered. Helmet of brass, shield, and all those things. Covered the hand, covered the legs. But at least his forehead was open. And God directed that stone to that forehead. And God gave that stone the force of a bullet. And the stone pierced his skull. Ordinarily, you try it. Throw stone and see whether, however much strength that you have, and see whether throwing stone can penetrate human skull. And that's to tell you that the angel of God was behind that stone. But suffice it to be said that David was at peace with himself. And when David killed Goliath, everybody wondered, this is a special person. God is with this young man. Someday, people will recognize the fact that God is with you. And they will come to you to come and serve your God. Hallelujah. Another picture of perfect peace you will find in Daniel, in the den of lions. Daniel, because of the envy and hatred of some of his colleagues, they made the king to issue an ungodly decree that nobody should pray to God or ask anything from God Almighty for a particular period except they pray to the image and the idol of the king. But that was when Daniel started to pray. And the Bible says Daniel would open the windows of his house because he was at peace with himself. He had peace. If there is an ungodly decree now, you know, you will find Christians complaining. Hey, why should the governor make this decree? Why should the president make this decree? If it is an ungodly decree and we all know it, then let us defy it and damn the consequence. That is what Daniel did. He defied the decree of the king and damned the consequence. He was not troubled because of that ungodly decree. And Daniel was arrested and he was thrown into the den of the lions. Imagine every step he took as they were taking him to the den of the lion. Normally, fear should overtake his heart. But that man was at peace with himself. He knew that he did all that he did in clear conscience. He knew that he did all that he did, serving God faithfully. And he was ready for God to deliver him. And even if God didn't deliver him, he was ready to die for a just cause. But thank God that after Daniel was thrown into the den of the lions, God shut up the mouths of the lions and the lions couldn't hurt him. Listen to me. If you enter into God's perfect peace and you begin to dare ungodly people, you will discover that God has already gone ahead of you to defend you. And that is when men will cringe before you and confess that your God is the true God indeed. Again, you find the story of the three Hebrew sons, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They also were thrown into the fiery furnace. But they had peace. They were at peace with themselves. You know, they were not troubled. And God took away the consuming power of that fire. And they were not consumed. They were not hurt. They were not injured. And it was even the king who was shouting, "Didn't we throw three people into the fiery furnace? How come that I'm seeing four people?" And the countenance of the fourth man is like the countenance of the Son of God. How did he know the countenance of the Son of God? You know, nobody comes in contact with Jesus and will not recognize him. Again, you can remember the story of Paul, who was caught in a storm and a tempest when he was traveling to Rome. And the Bible says all the people with him in the ship, they had not eaten for several days. And Paul said, "Please, why are you going to hurt yourself? All of you sit up, get up and eat." He said, "Because last night the angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me and told me that no life shall be lost in this ship." At the end of the day, was any life lost in that ship? No. There was tempest. The ship was broke. Lots of goods were lost. But because Paul saw that angel in a vision, he was not disturbed, because God said to him, no life will be lost. And definitely no life was lost. Friends, let us learn to enter into God's perfect peace. Let us learn to enjoy his peace, because that peace is a precious gift from God. The Bible never promised us that life will always be a smooth sail, but definitely it assures us of the ever-abiding presence of God. And this is the foundation and basis of our confidence and peace as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So you know, as a child of God, when you are in intimate fellowship with your Father, that yes, there are times when the devil will want to stir up storm, when the devil will want to harass the saints. But when you check yourself and you are confident that yes, I am in tune with God, I have not broken fellowship with God, your heart will be at rest. You will enjoy perfect peace, irrespective of that trial that you may be passing through. Perfect peace comes when we see God in our situations and circumstances, and then we trust him. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, "All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." All things, whether good things or bad things, whether rough things or tough things, whether difficult things or hard things, whether sufferings, whether trials, whether persecution, whether tribulation, whether poverty, whether joblessness, whether singleness, even barrenness, the Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things, without an exception. That is the basis of our peace. You live at peace and you say to yourself, if the devil likes, let him walk on his head. I'm not going to be disturbed as a result of that. There is the story of a man of God who was praying one night, and he was in his bedroom, and he kept hearing a particular disturbing sound in his sitting room. And at some point, the sound and noise was so disturbing that he had to stop praying, and then he went into his living room, switched on the light, and then physically he saw Satan. And you know what the story says that that man did? He said, so Satan is even you. And then he hissed and switched off the light and went back into his room, and then he continued to pray. And yet there are still several children of God that cannot stay in the dark. They are afraid. That seed that their parents planted in their lives as babies, it has grown. Ojuju, let us uproot every tree of ojuju in your life today in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, every tree that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Imagine yourself in the shoes of that man. He came into the room, switched on the light, and saw Satan. So Satan is even you. Switched off the light and went back into his room and continued to pray. A lot of us in this part of the world, we give the devil too much attention. Too many churches, too many meetings, too many preachers magnifying Satan. They specialize in talking about demons and witches and wizards. Fill people with fear. Preachers are not supposed to fill people with fear. Preachers are supposed to fill people with faith. Help people to chase out their fear. Somebody comes to you, "Pastor, if you know what I'm passing through," and then begins to describe and begins to exaggerate and begins to embellish and begins to raise a giant out of his or her situation. And then you keep quiet, and then you keep listening and listening and listening. By the time this person now keeps quiet, say, "Is that all? Is that all?" So that's all you've gone through, and then you are saying you've gone through something. And the person looks at you strangely. How can the pastor, all these things I have gone through, say is a small thing? Is it not a small thing? It's a small thing. You wait and let Job come and tell you what he went through. And then you will know that what you have passed through is a small thing. Wait and let John the Baptist come and tell you what he went through. And then you will know that what you are passing through is a small thing. But a lot of us, we just over magnify our problems. We allow Satan to make a mountain out of our molehills. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die, gain." Head or tail, Satan, you lose. Hallelujah. Those are the type of Christians that the devil cannot handle. Even in death, if I die, gain. If I live, Christ. So Satan, choose whatever you like. You want to kill me? Go ahead. But some people, when they hear death, they pick race. It's only in Lagos that people run when they don't know what is pursuing them. You see people running. What is pursuing? I don't know. And it's running. Cowards. Never allow your situation or circumstance to define you or to affect your peace. Don't allow your situation to define you. You are not your situation. You are bigger than all those situations. Perfect peace comes when we know that God is in control no matter what. John chapter 16 verse 33. Jesus Christ said there, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." But he said, "Cheer up, be of good cheer, for I have done what? I have overcome the world." He has already overcome. He has given us the election result before we voted. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, he said, "All power." How many power? How many power? All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Shoton. So where is Satan? It's only in this part of the world that we delight in magnifying Satan. No. Somebody sang, he said, "Let us carry Jesus up and throw Satan away. Up, up, Jesus. Down, down, Satan." Jesus said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let's see how David described it
in Psalm 23. That popular psalm, Psalm 23. This is a good description of perfect peace. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Look at verse 2. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." This month, the Lord will make you to lie down in green pastures. You know, a man that is fearful, a man that is in trouble, finds it difficult to lie down. You know, when somebody has an accident, and that person, maybe a vehicle hits somebody, and the person falls down. As the person falls, what do you think that person will first of all do when he gets up? He wants to run. What do people normally do to help such people? They want to hold him and press him down. Stay, stay, stay. Because they know, as the vehicle hits that person, he falls the first time. Once he gets up and then he tries to run, the next time he falls, that's the end. He's going to die. A troubled person finds it difficult to lie down. But whatever has been troubling you, the Lord will make you to lie down.
Amen.
It will make you to lie down. That is the position of rest. That is the position of peace. He said, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." You know, it's easy to lead somebody who is peaceful. But somebody that is chaotic, running helter-skelter, very difficult to lead, very difficult to guide. Somebody who doesn't pay attention, somebody who is restless, somebody who doesn't listen. A lot of us, our problem is not that God is not speaking, but there is too much noise in our heart. There is too much chaos in our minds. We are too restless, and that's why we are not hearing Him. But this month, the Lord will lead you beside the still waters. Verse 3, "He restores my soul." Even if before now you have been troubled and you have lost your heart, so to speak, this month the Lord will restore your soul. He says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Look at verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." I like verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of" who? "My enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." And look at verse 6, the crown of it all. "Surely." Everybody say surely.
Surely.
Shout it out loud. Surely. This month God says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A restless person finds it difficult to stay in one place. That was the problem of King Saul. "Wait for me for 7 days," but he was restless. He couldn't wait. This month, your heart will wait on the Lord.
Amen.
You will not leave the presence of God. You will not run into trouble.
Amen.
Wow! Perfect peace. Wonderful picture, isn't it? And that is what God is saying. In the words of Jesus Christ, He said, "He is leaving us in the world as sheep in the midst of wolves." That you will find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He's leaving us as sheep in the midst of wolves. That is a test of peace. The same thing the psalmist said in Psalm 23. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Only God can do that. Nobody wants to be served food, especially sumptuous food, in the presence of his enemies. But that is what God says He's going to do, because He has given His children perfect peace. And the same thing Jesus Christ is saying. He said He has left us in the world as sheep in the midst of wolves. He knows that the wolves are there, but what can any wolf do to any sheep of Christ, especially sheep that have not strayed away from their shepherd? He equally said in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Don't forget, He said in that verse, He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But perfect peace is being cheerful in spite of our tribulation. That hymn that we sing, "Through the love of God our Savior, all will be well." There is a line that says, "Faith can sing through days of sorrow, all will be well. And that is why I continue to warn us. Don't sing that song and begin to change the thing to success and all those. When success comes my way, I will praise the Lord. Success is called success. When troubles come, let the troubles come. When troubles come, I will praise the Lord. Habakkuk said, even if there be no food in the store, and the olive has failed in the vine, and there is no sheep in the flock, he said, yet I will praise the Lord. That is a man who has perfect peace. Your peace is not dictated or determined by the situations or circumstances around you, because it is there. It is settled. It is permanent. Jesus Christ said, anybody who believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow forth rivers of living water. Only God, who is all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, and all-sufficient, can take such risks of serving a person, setting a table before his children, and daring the enemy, and serving them in the presence of the enemies. Only God can do it, keeping his flock of sheep where there are ravening wolves around. Only God can make us cheerful in tribulation, and that is perfect peace. And he does all of this because he wants us to trust him and follow him. Yes, he serves you the food and say, eat. He say, ah, they are looking at me. They are watching me. Lord, they are enemies. He said, I say, eat. Trust me. And then the sheep, and there are wolves all around. He say, ah, these wolves. He said, don't look at the wolves. Eat, feed, take your rest. Don't look at the wolves, look at me. Hallelujah. We sing another song. How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the greatest God, forever the same. He rolls back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. He says, I will lead you, only trust in me. He wants you to trust him. If you don't trust God, you won't enjoy peace. But please trust him. However difficult it is for your nature, please trust him. However difficult it is for your flesh, please trust him. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of your sickness, in spite of your pain, in spite of your joblessness, in spite of your poverty, God says, trust me. Trust me. They say the darkest hour of the night is next to dawn. Say to yourself like Job, after I have been tried, I know I will come forth shining like gold. He's not finished with you yet. He's taking you somewhere. Please say to yourself, God is taking me somewhere. Now say to your neighbor, God is taking you somewhere. Say to yourself, I have not reached my destination yet. Hallelujah. As I begin to close, I say here, this is information on knowledge age. When man wants to understand, if possible, everything, and we always ask the question, why? Why? But this habit in itself of always wanting to ask God why is the basis of our frustration and lack of peace. Let's confirm that in scripture. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and read verse 12. Ecclesiastes 12:12. It says, and further, by this, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Much study, too much of knowledge. The Bible calls it weariness to the flesh. Too much of knowledge is not good. And a lot of us today are losing our sleep because of too much of knowledge. Do you know that somebody can be sick? Somebody may be carrying a terminal sickness, maybe cancer or even others, and you don't know it. So long as you don't know it, you will live your life normally like anybody.
But the day that person becomes sick and goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Sir or madam, sorry to announce to you that you have cancer." Do you know that? That news, that knowledge in itself, if care is not taken, is what will kill that person. They tell you, "Don't eat this, don't eat that." But you know that another person may have cancer, and that person does not know until that cancer will kill that person. And that person will just die. Just go like that. That person will enjoy himself or herself up to the last minute. And that's why there are certain knowledge that may not be good. You don't go scrutinizing everything. And that's why Paul advised us in the Bible, whenever you go to anywhere and they serve you food, don't ask, "Abi na pork? I hope this meat is not dog meat." Whether na dog meat or na pussycat meat, just close your eyes, lay hands and bless it and eat. You know, I've been told that even in some Chinese restaurant food, that they have lizard there. And a lot of the times, especially when I travel, people take me out to go and eat in Chinese restaurant. I know that the thing is very sweet, very sugary. I say, "This thing is sweet, oh." They say, "Sometimes they don't tell me what they put there." So long as it is sweet in my mouth, I've enjoyed myself. Don't spoil my appetite. A lot of us, we ask too many questions. Why? 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 Somebody has died. You ask why? Why? Why not? You that you are asking why, won't you die? When we ask too much of why, and then you are told why, then you say, Do you know that some people, by telling them, by giving them some shocking news, they will collapse, they will faint? So sometimes they don't tell such people, because they know that this person cannot handle this level of information. So a lot of the times, our lives are frustrated because we want to know too many things. We want to know this, we want to know that, So be careful the type of knowledge that you are seeking for. And that is why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, that this type of peace, God's type of peace, the perfect peace that we are talking about this morning, passes all understanding. Don't try to understand it, because it is not based on your understanding. It is not based on your knowledge. How can somebody whose loved one has suddenly died say it is well? How can somebody who has just been sacked say it is well? How can somebody who has just been given quick notice from his house and doesn't have any money to get another house and is completely broke, how can such a person enjoy peace? How can somebody whose house has just been burnt and he couldn't salvage an ordinary pin out of that house, how can such a person say it is well and be at peace? This type of peace passes all human understanding. People will look at you and they cannot understand it. You say to yourself, "It is well." People come to you, they want to console you. And instead of they consoling you, it is you that is preaching at them and consoling them. They look at you and they say, "You are a mystery." This peace, God's perfect peace, is a mystery. So, in essence, perfect peace does not come from our knowledge or understanding, but from Christ, the Creator and source of peace. That is why the Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. And he says in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In John chapter 14 verse 27, he says, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. My peace I give to you." But please let us take note that a sinner, a wicked man, cannot experience this peace. In Isaiah chapter 42 and the same book of Isaiah chapter 57 verse 21, the Bible says, "There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord." Then it is a case of no Christ and no peace. But if you say no Christ, then there is no peace for you. So no Christ and no peace, or no Christ and then no peace. In conclusion, I say, the extent of peace we enjoy is the extent to which we maintain a close walk with Christ. So, the closer our walk with Christ, the better and the more peace we'll enjoy. Please bow down your head as we begin to talk to God. The closer your walk with Christ, the more peace you will enjoy.
But those who don't know Christ, definitely they will not know peace. And if you know Christ, and yet you are not following him closely, but you are following him like Peter, who was following from afar, then that is why we now have many Christians. Yes, they call themselves Christians, they are born again, still they don't have peace. They still live in fear, they live in anxiety, they live in worries, they live their lives like unbelievers. Every little thing troubles them. Their lives is so chaotic. We need to pray today that God would deliver such people. Please begin to talk to God. I have told you that this perfect peace is a gift from God. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. The same thing for peace. If any man lacks peace, let him also ask from God. Because God gives to all men liberally without upbraiding any. Please rise up on your feet and let us pray. Rise up with me on your feet. And we're going to take this song together. He's able, more than able, accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He's able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. Brethren, we are going to take that song two more times. Irrespective of whatever you came to church with, whatever cares, whatever burdens, whatever situations or circumstances, please listen to me and listen to yourself as you sing that song this morning. God is able to perfect all that concerns you. He is able to handle everything that comes your way. He is able to usher you into divine peace. He is able to give you rest from your troubles. Sing that song meditatively. Sing that song prayerfully. Sing that song looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. He's able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He's able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He's able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, what he wants me to be. For the last time, everybody is able. He's able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He's able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Oh, he's able, more than able, to do much more than I. what he wants me to be. Oh yes, Father, you can make me what he wants me to be. Holy Spirit, you can make me what he wants me to be.
Please commit yourself into the hands of God this hour. Begin to commit your situations into his hands. Begin to commit your circumstances into his hands, irrespective of whatever may come across your way. Please begin to pray and say, Lord, I will not lose my peace. Lord, I will not lose my sleep. Oh, the Bible says God gives his beloved sleep. Begin to rebuke anything that may want to agitate your mind this month. Anything that may want to trouble you. Anything that may want to disturb your mind. Paul said, henceforth, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of Jesus. This month I will enjoy God's perfect peace. This month I will enjoy his divine rest. The peace of God that passes all human understanding will be my portion, will be my lot this month. Oh Lord, I enter into your rest. Father, I receive your peace. Today, oh God, let your peace be my portion. Lord, let your peace be my portion. Ah, though the mountains begin to skip, though the seas may roar, Father, I will not be disturbed. I will not be moved. I will not be afraid. Oh God, your peace is my portion. Your peace is my portion. Your peace is my portion. Brethren, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. My peace I give to you. Begin to say, Lord, I enter into peace. I enter into peace. Let anything and everything that wants to disturb me be rebuked this month. In the name of Jesus, every harassment of Satan, every harassment from the pit of hell, every harassment against my health, every harassment against my family, every harassment in the place of work, every harassment over business, every harassment over children, every harassment in finances, Baba, today I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I shall not be harassed. I shall not be harassed. This month I shall not be troubled. I receive the peace of God from every trouble, from every harassment of the enemy. Lord, I enter into your peace. I enter into your peace. Your peace is my portion. Your peace is your gift to me this month. Baba, I receive it. And let anything and everything that will seek to disturb my peace this month give way. In the name of Jesus, I shall not be troubled. I reject every trouble. I reject every fear. I reject every chaos. I reject every form of anxiety. I reject every form of worry. Lord, this month, I will trust in you. My eyes will look up to you, and I shall not be disappointed. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall dwell richly in my heart.